Mr. Winston, reel 17.
With bayonets.
Yes.
Oh, walking. Yeah, walking beside us, is it, to lead us to the barracks. The barracks were about a mile and a half away. Leclerc said, look here, let's give them a slip at the first point we can. We passed the barracks, and Claire said, now walk on. Just walk on.
Why should you spend your free trial there? You'll go back to come and stay at my little cottage.
Yeah, so I walked on with Claire to her cottage.
We just walked
and the three men with the bayonets turned left and walked into their barracks. I said, you turn round, Claire. There they are marching. So I got to Claire's things, and of course saw my child, not for the first time, because Kaya was always brought to visit, at visits, but you don't touch them. Here I was actually carrying the child now, and then I wrote, of course, to the barracks and said I will be away for 2 weeks and will return soon. So I wasn't going to continue this kind of...
No, one week.
Mm. Yeah.
You had 1 week before the court martial.
Yes.
Said, I will appear at the court martial.
Yes. But, so, we actually... extremely, extremely amusing how we walked on. It's a kind of comic.
She
had us both. And she knew, didn't she? I think she knew.
Well, she had Crawley visiting me, you see.
Of course she had him visiting, yes. Of course she had the warder visiting.
Yes,
and to have a warder coming into your place in the village would cause a lot of...
I had a praying day once when I went visiting. Inca was out on court-martial. You see, there were several times. They kept bringing you back.
The cat and mouse prison.
And I went up to the... I bought a bunch of flowers to take to the guard room, you see. And I asked to go up and see my husband. And the man said, you can't go. So I said, well, would you go and ask? I am permitted. I said, it's my right to be. I am permitted to do it. So he said, all right, wait here. And I waited some time. And he came down. He said, the lieutenant said, I'm not to let you in. So I didn't. I waited. I thought, I'll wait. Just wait. And after a while, the chap came out and said, I mustn't walk on that pavement. I'm on the barrack side. I must clear out. So I crossed the road and stood in front of the barracks. But they couldn't push me out of the other pavement, you see. They could hold, they shouldn't have done that, but still. And I stayed there a long while, a whole day. I was getting very hungry. I had the flowers were wilting in my hand. I thought, I'm not going to give up. And suddenly I saw the gates flung wide open and the most horrible, I don't know what to call it, it wasn't a carriage, it was just metal, and on it a very shabby coffin. Just trundled out and made that horrible noise on the stone. In those days they had stone.
Pebbles, I think.
Not pebbles, really large stones.
Cobbles.
See, we had no motor cars in those days for which we made nice roads. And I was so hurt to see this poor little coffin, bare and shabby, and not a soul following it. Just out, two horses dragging it along with that horrid noise. I crossed over and put my bunch of flowers on. And I walked back again. And I was so happy to see the flowers going away. I would have given anything if I'd had, you know, any shawl or anything put on that coffin. After about half an hour, one of the soldiers came up and called me across. I went across. And he said to me, "The lieutenant wants to see you." And he took me upstairs. And there was the lieutenant. He said, "You were told that you won't be able to see your husband. Where are you staying there the whole time?" I said, "Well, because I still feel that you might let me see him." I said, "I'm the only one he can see. He hasn't seen any relative for many, many years." "Well," he said, "I'll let you go. But you mustn't expect it to happen again." I said, "Oh, thank you very much. It's very kind of you." And just as I was going out, he said, "Shall I tell you why I'm letting you do it? Because I saw you putting that bunch of flowers. Isn't it extraordinary? Just a little, few little flowers which I had made him human." And then we had a little discussion. He said, "Why don't you tell him to join up?" I said, "Would you do things you thought wrong?" Oh, he said, "You go on." He didn't want to answer. I think he was almost won over. But they were very sweet, you know. I mean, I think I was telling you about the two men. They knew we were going off.
Oh, yes.
I think they willed us to go and take a week off.
They were willing to take a consequence of it.
That was afterwards.
Yes.
Well, yes, I was thinking of that. Were they punished?
Because they were, because when I was in the barracks for the first time, we were allowed out for about an hour and a half onto the fields beside, and with an escort only, of course. The escort would allow us to do what we liked. Well, one of them came up to me and called me by name. And I looked at him, I said, "Of course." He was a chap at the School of Economics whom I knew very well. We were pals, and he said, "Why not go?" He said, "Hop across the field and I'll look the other way." He was my escort. Yeah. And so I said, "It'll only get you into a row." He said, "Well, it'll only be in the same position as you are." And he said, "I agree with you absolutely. I hadn't the pluck, that's all." But I said, "No, I'm not going to take advantage of it." So I think they actually did their little bit there to show. You see, after a few months of the war, you must have learned from your other interviews, there was a complete change of opinion, especially on the front itself among the soldiers. They saw what a boring, ugly thing it was. There was no great bravery except to see the will to overcome seeing your pal with his head off.